Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Okay, let's repeat this. Hey, you guys, well, it's 7 p.m. You guys know what time it is. It's time for Real Talk with Miss V. I'm your co-host, Miss V, the tour lady out of the D, and I've got my co-host, Greg, out of the OKC. What's up, Greg?
How you doing, Miss V?
All right, I had myself on mute and didn't realize it. So, that tells you what's going on. But this is the Quickest Hour in Internet Radio, where if the Lions are playing at home on a Sunday, that means we're going to be running like a chicken with our head cut off, which I'm doing today.
Yep.
Before Randy comes on and talks about how the Ravens beat the Lions, let me put this out here. We sacked Lamar Jackson twice. Y'all didn't just beat us. Let's get this clear. If that fucking field goal would have, if the refs wouldn't have fucking been cheating like they always do when it comes down to Detroit, y'all wouldn't have won that game. And we put up a hell of a damn fight. So I don't want anybody saying, yeah, but we beat y'all. Yeah, but y'all were the fucking Ravens. Y'all were supposed to blow us out. Y'all were like 10-point favorites. But you don't win by 2 fucking points and you're 10-point favorites. You're supposed to be like kicking our ass.
Yeah.
Again.
Agreed.
We sacked Lamar Jackson twice. So we proved that Lamar Jackson can't get his ass beat. And we proved that if it wasn't for the refs, y'all ass wouldn't have won that game. Because, seriously, I was there to the very end, and that fucking field goal, the fucking football hit the damn goal. If that bitch wouldn't have bounced in, y'all would have lost. It ain't like it went straight through and y'all was like, field goal. No, y'all had to count on the bounce of it hitting the fucking bar. That's how y'all want to win? Yeah, it was still a win for you. But again, we're in the rebuild. And y'all did not beat our ass. So, for the Lions fans, for the naysayers of the Lions fans, same old Lions? No, the same old Lions would have fucking gave up when we were down fucking 10 or 13 nothing, okay? That same old Lions. The fact that we came back and took the motherfucking lead and only lost our 2 fucking points, yeah, that's not same old Lions. That's called a fighting team.
Oh, yeah.
You got anything to say, Greg?
No, that's true. I mean, I caught a little bit of football today because I had to do a brake job on a person's vehicle. And waiting on her to get the fucking parts took shit. Damn near fucking 6 hours.
It took her 6 hours to get parts for the car?
No,
it
took
25
me that
minutes
long
to do.
It took me that long to do the whole front end job, replace rotors, calipers, bearings, I mean, all that.
Oh, I was going to say, because brakes, we know brakes don't take that long.
No, I mean discs. I mean rotors. Man, I can do a front end in basically an hour or less. And this one had to wait for her to get out of church. Didn't go get the parts. Then she got the wrong brake shoes, so had to go back and get them. And it's like, oh, fuck! Hurry up! I got a show to do.
People don't care about what you got to do.
Exactly. So, I think Cleveland won today. Did they not? Last
I don't
I
know.
Was like 10-3. 10-3 is the last
I
saw on that.
I don't know because I was rushing home and literally, I'm going to say this, for the first time since I've been going to, and I think one of the Lions games, you guys know for a long time. Normally, when we say to the very end, there's like really nobody there. Because of what happened
yeah.
at the last home game, you know, where the Lions came back and damn near won, every motherfucking body stayed until the fucking end. We could not get out
awesome.
The goddamn stadium. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, where do you motherfuckers come from? Y'all never stay to the end of the game. Everybody stayed in their fucking seat to the end of the game. Motherfuckers were sitting there. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's awesome.
Y'all stayed to the fucking end of the game. I mean, it was
yeah.
nice to see people stay to the end. But it was also shocking because I'm so used to being like one of the last few thousand that stayed to the end. That when
right.
other people stayed, I'm like, where the fuck y'all come from? Y'all ain't leaving.
How many
like,
people did they allow into the stadium for
know.
The
Let me look at the capacity. I know the stadium was not filled.
I know my Cardinals won. And I follow basically OU people. Chiefs, they lost. And Reed, the coach, he was taken off to the hospital. Andy Reed. But don't know what's going on with that, last I heard. But the Chiefs lost, and I've got two OU players on that team.
Okay, the city,
so,
the capacity at Ford Field is 65,000.
65?
That's the capacity.
Yeah. Hell, even if that's half of it, man, that's a damn good turnout. Or even a quarter.
We were damn near full.
Holy shit.
Oh, it was a whole lot of people. The upper deck was not as full, but pretty much everybody was there because they wanted to see Calvin Johnson get his jacket today.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he went to the Hall of Fame. But the whole thing
right.
is that people were so disrespectful because they were booing the owner of the Lions. And the new owner of the Lions is not the owner that was there. She's part of that family, but she's not the one who made the decision. And even the guy I was sitting next to, and people, I want to put this out there. Everybody is mad because the Ford family made Calvin Johnson give back his signing bonus from when he retired. And
yeah.
when I told the gentleman who was sitting next to me, I said, they did the same thing to Barry Sanders. I said, he's not the first person he's done this to. They were like, but
yeah.
they could have. Okay, they're talking about, it's only, no, it was not only $1 million. It was like $7.5 million they made him pay back. It was not $1 million. And regardless,
oh, wow.
this is business. So whatever the dollar amount, it was more than $1 million. I know that. But this guy was like, look at all this. No, they're talking about all the money they're making, but they really did not make the money because when he retired, people quit buying the jerseys. So when they have to cut down the price and everything, they're not making money. I can see it from both sides. But, again, they did the exact same thing to Barry Sanders. They had a sour note with Barry Sanders. Somehow they got through that, and now Barry Sanders is back at good graces. People have to realize
yeah.
football, at the end of the day, is still a business. And
yeah.
when a person
and
agrees to a certain amount of money to play and then they decide they're not going to do it, you have an obligation. And I want everybody to understand this. Understand this. If you get a job that gives you, let's say they tell you that we're going to bring you on at $25 an hour and we're going to give you a $5,000 signing, we're going to give you a bonus to take this job. Part of this bonus
right.
is that you have to stay at this job for so long.
Right,
if you
right.
decide to not give them that amount of time, you're going to have to give back part of that bonus, if not all of it. That's just how business goes. When you renege on a bonus, because what they don't realize, he gave back the bonus. He did not give up his contract. He had to give back part of that signing bonus. That's an incentive. That is business. That is the way everywhere goes. I'm sorry for you people who have never worked in fucking corporate America, and I understand I'm talking to a lot of blue-collar people that really don't understand this. And I'm a blue-collar person myself. I'm just a desktop blue-collar. But at the end of the day, there are conditions to employment when you take jobs. And I want everybody to understand, right now, there are companies that are saying, we will pay you $500 to take this job. We'll give you this. Guess what? The strength with that is that you got to say 90 days, 6 days, whatever amount of time. They're not just giving you $500 to get the job. There are attachments to that. So for everybody who's bitching about, I don't get enough money, I'm not getting enough money. Well, guess what? When these companies, and I'll use Red Robin as an example. I don't know how much they're paying, but let's say hypothetically, Red Robin has a sign on it said, we're giving you $500 when we hire you as a bonus to hire on, and we're going to give you $17 an hour. Well, the catch to that $500 is that you've got to give them so much time. They're not giving you $500 just to get you in the door so you can quit the next day. You've got to give them something for that $500. So what is the difference between a football player and a person who does a commitment with a job, a regular job? Because last time I checked, football is their job. So you people who are bitching about him having to give back this money, Calvin Johnson is a businessman. He's not stupid, okay? He's mad because he had to give back the money. Well, guess what? You could have did like every other fucking player in Detroit who does not want to stay here does. Quit fucking performing. Darius Slay is no longer in Detroit, not because he's a bad player. He's no longer in Detroit because he said he wanted to be traded, and when Detroit said they weren't going to fucking trade him, Darius Slay said, fuck it, I'm not going to perform. He set out his contract until the fucking free agency came, and he left. That's what he did.
Yeah.
It did not hurt his career. He sat and he did his job. He didn't do it the Big Slay way, but he did his job and made sure that he did not come back to Detroit.
Right.
That's what you do. Well, so people quit bitching about him having to give back this money and realize this is business. Because as a business owner, I can tell you something. When I did my photo shoot a few years ago, and I hired models to do this photo shoot, their pay was the clothing that they got in the photo shoot and their transportation. Well, one of my models, because they were supposed to travel with me, one of the models for my calendar became pregnant.
Yeah.
I cannot have a pregnant model travel with me. You're not who I hired. This model, a year later, asked me, where's my calendar? And I said, the calendar you have to pay for, and I never agreed to give the models the calendar. So she thought she was getting a calendar, and she said, well, this is – no. The agreement was you got paid – and they got paid cash also. They got paid cash. The clothes that they modeled, they got to keep, and they was going to be – and they were being paid to travel with me. They were supposed to travel to Chicago with me. Neither model ended up traveling to Chicago with me. Guess what? That's part of business, and that was part of the contract. And they had an NDA. So, and they signed these NDAs. So when the girl came after me, I said, you might want to go look at your NDA. And she was mad as hell because she took it to an attorney, and the attorney told her, you signed the NDA, there's not a damn thing you could do. And it was an ironclad NDA that I had her sign.
Yep.
People quit bitching. You do not know what's in these contracts. I can tell you as a businesswoman, just from that one experience when I hired my models and I had them sign that NDA, Calvin Johnson is not a stupid man. He's a very well-educated man. He's a businessman. We do things we don't like, okay? He made a decision that he was going to retire because he did not want to stay in Detroit.
Yeah.
Guess what?
So That's breach of contract.
Part of that retirement, he had to give up that money.
Yes.
He did not fulfill his contract.
Correct.
So Boeing, the owner of the Lions, was so disrespectful. And the sad part is that the people who are fucking booing probably are motherfuckers who will never be at another Lions game again. There were so many people there who did not understand the game. And I got to say this. I got to put this out there. Because I go to Lions games all the time. Okay, for you assholes who when the offense is playing, you're yelling, let's go Lions, let's go Lions. You don't do that shit on fucking offense. You keep your fucking mouth shut on offense. Because the offense needs to work.
No shit.
So for all you motherfuckers, there was a whole lot of y'all yelling, let's go Lions, when the offense had the ball. Do you know football? Do you understand football? Or have you never been to a goddamn game? So,
well, that's the thing. Some people go, oh, I got tickets. Let's go. Oh, let's go. I'm a season ticket holder.
Season ticket holders don't have to do that shit, okay?
They're showing off, hey, I got season tickets. I'm a football fan. No, you're fucking not. You're a social media fan, you dumb fuck.
I will be posting pictures from today. I did not post them because, again, for you people who do not understand, most people know when I'm at the game. I have kind of quit posting a lot when I'm at the game because people know where I live at. And considering that my next-door neighbor is also at the game with me, I try not to post pictures because I don't want the houses to be targets.
Yep.
I'm just saying. So I will be posting pictures from today's game. But I did do my pregame hype. I will be back posting pictures when I'm at the game or before the game. But I'm sorry for those y'all who think I'm going to be posting during the goddamn game. Let's get some shit clear. I actually watch the fucking game. I really don't have time to post on fucking social media when I'm watching the goddamn game. I'm being honest.
No.
I can't post on social media and pay attention to the game, too.
I think if it's a televised game or home game, all that, you're going to watch every little thing. It's like, oh, my phone's going off. I don't care. I want to see and feel everything going on at a NFL game because I've never been to one.
Listen, I held my fucking pee today. Because I wanted to leave, but I didn't want shit to happen, so I sat there and I held my fucking pee, which is something I did, like when the game first started, I did have to go because literally I was drinking a lot today. But you would have thought that, but like when I went when nobody was going, so I got up there and they was like, damn, this bitch is like maneuvering good. I'm maneuvering around the people selling the beer and shit. You know how they stay in there, they be yelling beer. Okay, I'm maneuvering around them and everything because I'm watching the goddamn, I'm like, okay. And people, and you guys have to see the pictures. My hair looked really cute today. Really, really cute. I have new hair. So when I say that, and man, and I'll just say man, whoever you were, I'm going to be honest. I have no clue what the fuck you were saying to me. I looked at the guy who was standing across from me, who I know, and I said, you know how you people say, I don't know if the guy gave me a compliment. I think he said something about my hair. I said, oh, thank you. And he said some other shit, and I just kind of smiled and nodded because he was already drunk, and this was before the game started. So I want you guys to know, if you are the gentleman who said something to me at the game today, and I kind of smiled at you, that's because I didn't know what the fuck you were saying. I just said thank you and nodded because that was the right thing to do. But I think that you were so drunk. And then when I asked other people what you were saying, and when other people around me didn't know what you were saying either, that meant that I was not being rude. We really didn't. Whatever you said, nobody fucking understood. Just being honest. We were out in the smoking area, and
yes.
a guy said something to me. I think he was being polite. I really don't think he was being rude. All I heard was something about my hair. I said thank you, but then he said some other stuff, and I cannot tell you what he said. I looked at the group of people that I was with, and I was like, okay, I didn't understand a damn thing he said. And everybody who was in that group with me said, we don't know what the fuck he said either. I said, that's why I just kind of smiled and said thank you. And they said, yeah, that was probably the right thing to do. And we kept it going. I have no clue what the man was fucking saying. But that's what happened when you sell $3 cocktails the first hour when the door is open. We get fucking wasted. We get fucking wasted. I'm not going to say I don't get wasted because cocktails, the first hour that the gates open, it's only the first hour. Cocktails are $3, beers are $3, and hot dogs are like $2 or something. Wherever it is, it's like it's the first, maybe beers are $2. Cocktails are $3 and beers are like $2. But it's only, they call it power hour. And that's the first hour when the gates open.
Yeah.
So when I say that, like, we try to get as much alcohol as we can that first hour. Because sometimes, some people, that's all the alcohol you can afford. We have, like, our regular bartenders and stuff that we go to, so we actually spend more money than that. But we like to take care of our bartenders. But
I swear
I had 4 fucking drinks the first hour.
Oh,
and because we have like bartenders we go to. So the bartender that we go to, like, as with any place, the bartender, you know, we take care of our bartender take care of us. That's the best way to put it. And anybody who's ever been to a bar, what happens at a game is no different than going to your neighborhood bar or anything. If you take care of your bartender takes care of you. Plain and simple. Y'all read and say what the fuck y'all want to. Plain and simple. But the first hour, cocktails are $3. It's not top shelf. But because before I went in there, I'm a tequila drinker. So I had already made me a tequila with crayon apple juice. So I had already down like a triple or quadruple shot of tequila before I went in there with the crayon apple juice. And women, let's be crazy. I didn't have just tequila. I had 1800. So let's rewind that. I didn't have regular tequila. I had 1800.
Yep.
With crayon apple juice. So we already know that I wasn't feeling bad at all. So for me to have 1800, and then I had 3 more drinks with tequila and pineapple juice when I got in there. I was doing good, and I think I had 3 more drinks. I had like 3 more drinks during the fucking game. So.
Damn.
I was feeling good. And I had a bagel before I went. So the bagel, for anybody who knows about drinking alcohol, this tells you that I'm a real drinker. The fact that I had a bagel before I even really started drinking means that I didn't feel shit for a minute because I had enough bread on my damn stomach that was absorbing everything. The alcohol really didn't get a chance to kick in. And then I did eat a hot dog while I was there, so that's more bread because I didn't eat just a hot dog. I ate the bread that the hot dog was surrounded. So...
Yep.
I want to say, like, the beginning of the third quarter, I ate my hot dogs that I had bought during power hour. So, again, I think the hot dogs were like $1.50 during – I take that back. Hot dogs were like $1.50 during power hour, so I got 2 hot dogs for $3, and we had, like – we probably spent about $20 during power hour between alcohol and hot dogs because I got each a hot dog a piece, and then we had cocktails. And then that doesn't count the alcohol that we drank before we got up in there. Again, this is what we do at Lions game. And then after halftime, we was drinking more. So, again, we felt good. But let me bring on Randy. Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Hey, beautiful. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I don't want to hear shit about your Ravens because we sacked Lamar Jackson twice.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot of game. To tell you the truth, when I
and if the football wouldn't have hit the goal, y'all wouldn't have won.
I thought we did lose, but
no,
I really thought we did. I saw the game. I saw the game today.
Hello, Randy.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Doing good.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Greg. I just started talking
because
I knew he was going to say something about his Ravens, so I had to just get that in quick.
That's
yep.
Okay. I just came from church. I just came from church after church, and then I'd click on the TV. Just simply watch the game, just relax and enjoy myself. Have a few drinks and all that. A few drinks and snacks. But how was your week?
All I can say, my week was good. The fact that we sacked Lamar Jackson twice, I ain't got shit to say because I think we did good. The fact that we were the underdogs and we were supposed to lose by 10 fucking points.
Wasn't that game
but
delayed?
No, it was not. That game started on time.
No, I'm talking about the field goal. Is it a walk away from a delayed game or something?
No.
No?
But
okay,
whatever reason, the damn refs, the refs was on some shit today, but the refs don't like us. I got to start wearing my shirt that says Detroit versus the refs because the refs hate us. I don't care who the fuck is there. The refs fucking hate us. I'm serious. I told my daughter, and I said in the stands, everybody looked at me, I said, I spent my whole damn young adult life fucking dating pro athletes. I should have been fucking dating Detroit Lions refs because it's obvious that the refs don't fucking like Detroit. So I told my daughter, I said, quit fucking dating goddamn Lions. Go find a fucking ref to date because it's obvious that the only damn way we're going to win a game is for a Lions, somebody from the Lions to suck their dick right. Because the refs hate us. The refs was making some fucking shitty calls today, as usual. They made fucking shitty calls at damn Green Bay game. And I was at a watch party for the Green Bay game, and I'm just like, I'm not mad at the Lions. So for anybody who said, oh, I hate the Lions, no, I do not hate the Lions. Anybody who knows me knows I love my Lions regardless. We are in a rebuild, so, you know, I really don't expect a whole lot. What I expect is for the fucking Rams to lose. The reason why I expect the Rams to lose is because we get their fucking drafted. Part of the damn trade to get fucking Goff and gave them Stafford was that we got their fucking drafted. I need these motherfuckers to start losing. I don't care about us losing. We're going to get better draft picks anyway. But we need the fucking Rams to start losing. Can somebody go kick the fucking Rams' ass? I don't care about losing to fucking Baltimore. I really don't.
Oh. Here's a question, B. Who did Stafford go to?
The Rams. He went to the LA Rams. We did a swap. We got Jared Goff. We gave them Stafford. That swap also gave us like two or three of their draft picks.
Guess what?
Stafford's so we need them to do shitty.
Well, he's having a damn good game against the Buccaneers.
Again, that's why I need his ass. You know what? I need Stafford to be the fucking Stafford that he was here and fuck up some shit and start losing.
Yeah.
Why, as much as I kind of root for him, because I don't feel bad for him. You know, I'm not anti-Stafford. So for anybody to say, I'm not anti-Stafford. This year I'm anti-Stafford because we want them fucking damn draft picks. So, yes, Stafford, fucking kick rocks, lose, get injured, do what the fuck you got to do. Lose some goddamn games because we need to get them draft picks.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. You can win next year. Make sure you gotta
move. But yeah,
that's
I
all
just
I'm
turned
saying.
Off the football game. Just turned it off as far as Stafford with the Rams and the Buccaneers. Buccaneers just scored a touchdown. 34-17 before the touchdown. Rams and the player was injured on landing in the end zone for the Buccaneers. So,
they got fucking 1 minute left. How the fuck is Brady losing a goddamn Stafford? Who the fuck do Brady think he is losing a goddamn Stafford?
And that's it.
How Brady needs
left.
His ass kicked right now? I just turned it up. I'm just like, seriously? So I got to turn away from this because I can't do it. Again, we better not go 0-17. 0-17 means that we're a shitty team and we're going to be like the fucking Cleveland Browns. We don't do fucking 0-17. And the fact that we're not losing by a whole lot, it means we have yet to be thrown out. That's what I would say. Losing against the Ravens, we kind of thought we were going to get blew out. We really thought that Lamar Jackson was going to kick our ass. So we've already proven that Lamar Jackson is not really all that. Because Lamar Jackson should have came in and be like, yeah, we beat the Lions' ass. Yeah, all you can say is like, yeah, we beat them.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the bragging rights to say, we blew y'all ass out, we did this. Your field goal, your kicker really proved that he wasn't shit. So.
Right.
Y'all really ain't got a whole lot to brag about when it comes down to y'all playing against us. I want to keep it real. Because we held y'all to 0-0 for the longest. You know, it was a 0-0 game for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Your kicker missed the fucking first field goal.
61 yards.
It don't matter. If you're supposed to be the kicker and you decide that you got... The coach decides they're going to send a fucking kicker out there to do a field goal, you better have confidence that that motherfucker's going to make it. And he missed it.
Oh.
His name is not
NFL.
Prater. That's it. When you have Prater, now, we had Prater last year. We expect Prater to kick 61 yards. This motherfucker that we got now, I don't expect him to kick 5 yards. I'm being honest. He hasn't proven that he can kick. So, as a coach, when you put someone out there to do a 61-yard field goal, you better make sure they got a fucking 61 field goal today.
Yeah.
He missed a couple of field goals today. So, it ain't like I'm sitting here saying... Y'all kicker got lucky, and really when I say lucky, that fucking damn kick at the end, it hit the fucking crossbar and bounced in. It ain't like it went through the center. So, y'all might be going to be looking at that damn kicker.
Oh,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. A win is a win. That's all it is. At least that's what they always say anyway.
Yep.
But if you're depending on your kicker, the Lions depending on their kicker. That's why we weren't as shitty as we could have been because we had Matt Prater. We ain't got Prater now, so we can't depend on a kicker for shit. We have to depend on our fucking damn people on the field. I give it another 2 games, and we might not. First of all, we don't have no wide receivers, okay? Anytime the damn coach goes on national TV and criticizes the wide receiver, and then the whole press said, the whole national, all over the national news that Detroit is getting rid of Collins, you fucked up real bad. Because they said they still feel the offer to get rid of his ass. He ain't play today. You know you got to be bad as hell. Not only do you get criticized after you've been on fucking Monday Night Football by your damn coach on national TV, your ass don't even play the following week.
Yeah.
I would have my fucking dick so far between my damn legs, I'd be tucking that shit and taping it away. I'd be like, oh, let me prove to you, coach. I would be kissing the coach's ass if I really wanted a job, okay? I don't think he kissed his ass. Because they have made it clear he is gone. I'm waiting on my coach. I'm telling you, I'm waiting on him to do the Superman thing and, like, rip his shirt and be in a fucking uniform because now I'm going to say this. I don't know if anybody, and I know you guys are men, and I'm not asking the big A, but the entire Lions coaching staff this year is a very handsome coaching staff. none of these men are sore on the eyes. They all look like they're in shape. They all look like I put it like this. I think if they suited up, they can go out there and kick some ass. I'm being very honest. It's not a single member on our coaching staff that I would want to go head-to-head. Patricia, I think if I kick Patricia in his kneecaps, he might fall, okay? That was our old coach, the one that's back with the Patriots. You know, I think I could kick him in his kneecaps and I could beat him running, even with my bad back. There's no coaching staff. Not only are they bad on the ice, because I was having a conversation, these men don't have to, I'm telling you, with their clothes on, they could do a whole fucking calendar, and I would buy a damn calendar with their damn clothes on, because these men are not bad on the eyes, and all of them look like they can put the pads back on. Our new coaching staff are all former NFL players. So we don't have a bad coaching staff. It's just our team has got to get into the realization that you got players coaching you and not motherfuckers who went through college and got a degree in physical education or whatever the fuck some of these damn coaches get. You know, I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Or they play some college ball, but they really didn't play it that good. I mean, like I said, I'm waiting to see Dan Campbell go out there and sign a one-day contract and prove that he can still play. He's a tight end. I think he's a tight end. Whatever he used to play, I'm waiting on him to put a damn uniform on. I'm serious. Because I think he could go out there and do the job. I think that if you took the entire coaching staff and gave each one of them one-day contracts, they would go out there and do some work. And I'm waiting on Dan Campbell to say, fuck you motherfuckers, I'm coming. I'm waiting on us to have a shitty first half, and he come out that locker room the second half with a damn uniform on. I kid you not. That's what I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see my damn coach come out the damn. I'm waiting to, and we just got Dan Campbell. I'm going to be like, yes. Because that's how good our damn coaches look. And how, I'm telling you, I have watched them. He gets down, even in practice, he practices with them. Even before the game, he's out there with them doing these drills. He's not sitting there, standing there with a damn whistle. So, I'm waiting on him to get mad enough and put a damn, I'm sure he's got a uniform. I'm willing to bet money this man got a uniform somewhere. And he used to play for the fucking Lions. So, I'm just waiting. I'm just being honest. I think that he's going to get pissed, and we're going to have a shitty first half, and at halftime, it's going to be a shot, and he's going to come out there, and he's going to be like, let me show you motherfuckers how to do this. I'm tired. When he does that, the whole damn league going to talk about it. I'm going to be right there with him. I'm going to be like, see, I told y'all. I told y'all not to fuck with him. But it was still a good game today. I just got to tell everybody, do like y'all normally do. Leave. I hate that everybody was fucking there to the end. It took me longer to get up out of there because these motherfuckers didn't leave. Normally at the beginning, like 5 minutes into the fourth quarter, they're gone. These motherfuckers stayed to the very fucking end because of the way we came back. And then again, this was another nail biter. We're fucking doing nail biters now. The Lions will actually get fucking attendance because motherfuckers are going to pay for the tickets just because they're nail biters. I'm just saying. And then I got
now,
puppies that are mad at me.
We hear that. But one of the early games, I saw it. And Bryce, can't tell you what team, but NFL history was made today with the longest run back of 109 yards. It was on 68-yard field goal attempt. I think the Jaguars had a guy back there, and he caught it and ran it all the way back. And that's the longest run in NFL history as of right now.
Justin Tucker did for the longest field goal in NFL history.
Mm.
66-yard field goal. No, that was today?
Yeah.
Oh, that bounced off the cross, but that bounced off the fucking crossbar.
Okay, no, not that one. This one, it was a 68-yard attempt, and they other team had a guy back there in the end zone, caught it before out of bounds, whatever, and ran it all the way back, 109 yards.
What was that game?
I just can't remember who the two teams were. But it happened today.
It was the Jaguars. Agnew, who used to play for the fucking damn. Oh, my God. Jamal Agnew. He used to play for the Lions. He ties the NFL record with a 109-yard return versus Cardinals.
Yeah.
For a touchdown. And Jamal Agnew
yep.
used to play for the damn Lions. And he did that when he played for us.
I guess that is my question.
So,
but yeah, that's a long run back. I think it happened about 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago in college. Alabama was trying a field goal. Guy caught it and ran it all the way back for the win. And I think it might have been a national championship game.
So everybody's setting records today. Why are they over here playing?
The puppies?
Yeah. Oh, I took my puppies to the vet, to the groomer yesterday. The German Shepherd has aggressive puppy syndrome. They said they think he has aggressive puppy syndrome.
Oh,
now,
wow.
What did they say? No, they call him aggressive puppy. And I was like, what's that? They was like, they don't normally see it that young because he's only 4 months old. I was like, well, he is with an 11-month-old. So, no, they call it puppy aggressive. That's what it's called. It's called being puppy aggressive. And they said when he's aggressive towards other dogs. And I said, he lives in a house with a dog on an 11-month-old pit bull terrier mix. All they do is fucking wrestle.
Yeah.
So she said, well, that would explain why he's on puppy aggressive.
Yeah.
She said she had never seen it that young.
Are they both female?
They're both males.
Okay, male, yeah. One's trying to insert the alpha.
They're both alphas.
Uh-huh.
And I have 3 male dogs. All my dogs are males. When you count the one in my daughter's house, there's 4 male dogs. But the German Shepherd literally has been wrestling with the 60-pound pit bull terrier since I've gotten him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when I say wrestling, he has been on top of him and everything. I just be laughing like, okay.
Yeah.
He is
just
truly
keeping on
aggressive.
Both of them. Yep.
Oh, they're always
keep an eye on both of them.
They're brats. That's what they are. B-R-A-T. Big brats. Come on, y'all need to go outside with us to switch places with us. I'm putting y'all out. We're going to switch up. And see, this is what we go through, because they're spoiled. And when I say spoiled, come back to college. Now, get down. I said, I'm going to put them outside and let the little asshole, the lots of obstacle in. Come on. Now, see, this is what I have to do. I have to switch out where who goes in and who goes out. Are you coming in here? Come on. And this is what we do. This is our routine. Because I had the lots of opto outside. So now he's in. And he's in his little area for the rest of the night. I'm going to put the two other breads outside. I'm going to give him some doggy hemp. Yes, my dog are a drug addict. Because I have to be able to have a good night's sleep. Yes, I have doggy hemp.
Never heard of it.
They sell it on Amazon. And they also sell it at stores locally also. But it's actually cheaper on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. Trust me, Amazon is cheaper on a whole lot of shit.
So.
Especially automotive.
Doggy hemp. So when I say that I didn't get the doggy hemp, oh yeah, I done had a long day today. Next week, speaking of having long days and everything else, we may not have a show next week. The only reason I say may not, I am still debating if I'm going to go to the NAACP Fight for Freedom Fund dinner. That's here in Detroit. It's an annual dinner.
Hmm.
It is a sit-down formal dinner. And it goes from 5 to 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
So it's a dinner that I have been meaning to go to for years. I am debating if I'm going to go. I have not made my decision yet. And since tickets are still available, I'm debating if I'm going to go and go by myself and, you know, as they say, make that leap of faith, or if I'm going to wait until we are more COVID free
right
to go. So I will not know until probably Thursday or Friday. That's how long I've been debating this for about 2 weeks now. So
Damn. We
may not have a show next week. Yeah, I'm really, because this is something that I really, because this is a sit-down formal dinner, so it's one of those things where they cut down the number of tickets that they're selling.
Uh-huh.
Because normally this dinner, this is the largest, it's talked every year, it's the largest sit-down fundraising dinner in the United States. And
I think you ought to go.
I'm debating if I'm going, dog, I forgot who. And she's a congresswoman. She's going to be speaking this year. They always have a keynote speaker. I mean, they've had Hillary Clinton, President Obama. They've had a lot of keynote speakers. And they even had Kid Roxy. I mean, when I say that, this is not a political organization, because people say NAACP, they're political. No, they're not, because I think Kid Rock is an asshole. I'm being honest. You know, only because I don't like a lot of his views, but Kid Rock is an honoree and everything. So, you know, so knowing that...
Well,
they're very, I like the fact that they're open-minded despite, you know, people think of the organization and think one way. Yes, they're just fighting for people's rights. That doesn't mean that they're narrow-minded. They're fighting for rights. I like that they listen to all you know, I like to listen to all voices, if that makes sense.
They
don't
say
you have to be a Democrat to be a keynote speaker or whatever, you know. So
and
what were you going to say, Greg?
I can't believe I said right twice, and I can't stand that word. But I agree. I mean, that's a once-a-year deal, especially if you have never been. That might be something worth going to. I mean,
and I've been meaning to go to the dinner for years. This is something I've wanted to go to. Like I said, this year I'm debating more, only because, you know how some people say, oh, what's the money? To me, it's not about if I can afford it. I can afford the ticket. The ticket is only $150. So
yeah.
It's not an expensive ticket. My thing is, I've been looking to see what their COVID requirements are because, like, even when I go to the Lions game, they have big signs of saying mask, or they highly recommend that you wear masks. They don't, they're not mandated. They're highly recommended. You know,
right.
But I have talked to, and I don't ask people, hey, have you had your COVID shot? I haven't done that. I'm not going to do that. Not when I'm at a public event like that, because I really don't feel like having some political debate with people when it's not political. So I have trusted the Lord that since I have gotten my COVID vaccine, that time that I'm in that open air space and not really sitting up in nobody's face, hoping and praying that I don't get COVID. I'm being honest. And trusting that my vaccine is working. But I do spend a lot of time outside. You know what I'm saying? But this dinner is in a very closed-in space, and that's where my big concern comes with this dinner.
Well, you got the vaccine. Which one did you get, the Pfizer or Moderna?
I had J&J. Because I have no problem saying I'm a big wuss. I hate needles to the utmost. And when I say that I can't stand them, I cried when I got the damn shot because I can't stand shots that much.
Yeah.
I hate
same
needles
here.
That much.
Even though I had both nipples pierced with a fucking needle. Trust me,
ouch.
I hate it. Yeah, very big ouch. And I hate needles.
Yeah, that's so known.
I have to get a shot every 2 weeks. And it's like, okay. But I got my shots and okay. Well, I would show the card, but uncomfortable, I'd still wear a mask.
Same here.
And just for the fact that even though you got a shot, you can still get it.
Oh, I know. You didn't hear me say that because
so,
I got the shot, I didn't think I could get it. You heard me say, I pray and hope.
Yeah, well, that's me. I mean, they've already got a mask mandate where I work, whether you got the shot or not.
Still got to
wear
a mask.
Still wear a mask in 6 feet of people. And a group of people wear the mask. So, okay. I don't wear the paper ones. I've got ones that are, you know, quote, I guess.
Cloth mask.
Described would be designer. I have prints. You know,
I got designer
mask. Okay. And that's me. You know, I've got a few.
Okay,
says,
the keynote speaker this year is, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The keynote speaker year is Marsha Fudge, the Secretary for Housing and Urban Development. She's out of Ohio. She used to be a congresswoman. So she's the keynote speaker. And then they have the Freedom and Justice. They have the Ida B. Wells. They have two awards they give out, the Ida B. Wells Freedom and Justice Award is going to Joyce Beatty, congresswoman from the state of Ohio, and the Boy Freedom of Justice Award is going to attorney John E. Johnson, Jr., executive director, Michigan Department of Civil Rights. So.
Okay. If I
And then they have a great, the Great Expectations awardee is Adrian Simone, co-founder of the Fairness Fund. The James Weldon Johnson Lifetime Achievement Award is going to Hanson Jabbar, president and CEO of Access. And another Great Expectations awardee is Brian L. George. He's a police officer for the Detroit Police Department and founder of Game More. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I probably read that wrong because I can't see.
Well, he works there in Detroit then with the game and all that. And, yeah, I think that'd be cool.
So, and I'm just going to read you guys some history about this center because they said, one of a kind dinner, the Detroit branch NAACP is home to one of the premier events in the world, the annual Fight for Freedom Fund Dinner. The Detroit branch NAACP Fight for Freedom Fund Dinner provides its guests with a first-class meal, top-notch entertainment, and some of the world's renowned keynote address speakers. The Fight for Freedom Fund Dinner was launched in April 1956 under the leadership of President Eric Turner. I ain't going to get into all that, but they said the Freedom Fund Dinner was founded in a period of renewed national hope and determination among Black Americans, even in the face of continued racial violence and tragedy. We're still fighting today for freedom and justice. Their support of our annual Fight for Freedom Fund Dinner ensures that we will remain on the front lines when you purchase a ticket, table, or sponsorship, you are taking just the same. And, oh, believe me, they got all these different levels. Like, I can't give them no $50,000.
I think it would be awesome if you can actually go. I would go just to experience, I mean, the situation, the moment, and just take it in. You've never done it, so it's a new experience. It's something that will, you know, I think it'd be awesome.
Like I said, I'm still considering it. And it's next Sunday. So, like I said, I will know by the end of the week. I'm really, because at first I started looking, I was like, what do people wear to this dinner? Not that I'm worried about. I have a walk-in closet from the clothes, so we all know I'm not worried about clothes. But it was a matter of, was it the formal affair or what type of affair it was? And it's everything that I've noticed, it looks like it's business. It's not business casual. It's a business affair because I've been looking for images. And everybody looks like they're wearing, like, business suits. You know, it's not a black tie affair.
Okay, yeah.
And
it would be just one step.
Also.
It would be just one step below black tie. So, even though it says casual, no, it's business attire to the hilt, minus black tie.
Professional. Let's rephrase it. It's professional business. So, instead of saying it's business, it's professional business. I did see some people who were dressed like they were a little grumpy, but I kind of expected that of the people that I saw.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a professional business attire.
Nothing skimpy, just that. Very professional attire.
Yes.
But I would almost bet you how many women show up in business attire with a lot of cleavage showing.
Excuse me.
No, everybody looked like they were covered. Oh, wow.
Correct.
And you know what? We done went through our whole hour. So, I want everybody to have a great week. I will keep everybody abreast. I have not made my decision. There will be football next week. I will be watching it. But until then, everybody have a great week. And be safe, because as you can tell, my children are yelling in the background. So have a great
everybody
week.
Everybody have an awesome week.
Bye.
And have a great week. Bye.
How good is that?
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but that's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Let's talk about sex.